peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, six stone jars. Six stone jars crash the party at Cana. Six stone jars, they stand guard at the wedding. Six stone jars stand for the purifying. Six stone jars can handle about 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Hard stone, heavy stone. These jars, they lurk in the shadows. The jars intimidate the guests. The jars limit the festivities. Stick six stone jars keeping watch. Do you see them standing guard? Oh, if these jars could talk, what would they say? Well, they'd say, "We know your name. We know who you are." They'd say, "We've witnessed your secrets." They'd say, "We've seen the skeletons. We've ledgered your indiscretions. We've logged your vices, the private ones. We've studied your immoralities and scrutinized your deficiencies." They'd testify, they'd tattle, so all would hear. And they'd say, "You with your greedy fingers, you need purification." They'd accuse, they'd indict before God and everyone. They'd say, "You with the lustful eyes, you require a cleaning." These jars, they'd announce at the top of their lungs, "You there with the arrogant heart," they'd bark, "You, you with the fiery tongue, you must soak, you must drown." These jars, if they could talk, they'd say, "You're just going to screw it all up again. You'll ruin this one like always." Life issues confront us like these six stone jars. Life issues hit us over the head and they call us out. Life issues such as experiments on embryos, assisted suicide, and abortion, they involve you. These conversations about disability, depression, dementia, they do apply to you. These debates about infertility, contraception, and unexpected pregnancy, about discomfort and diagnoses, about abuse and addiction, about grief and guilt, they concern you, whether you like it or not. And that's exactly why we don't want to address them, isn't it? That's precisely why we'd rather have no big deal made of such evils. We realize that once the finger starts to point, there are more fingers pointing back at us. We recognize that if the convicting begins, our case and our iniquities will come up way too soon. You have your own indiscretions, don't you? You've lent your voice to popular sentiments, but bitten your lip about godly truths. You've gratified your own flesh's appetites. You have secrets and skeletons, your mistakes and failures. You've contemplated violence against somebody, or even your own body to lessen suffering. You've neglected responsibility to family and disregarded obligations to community. You've ignored pleas for help and overlooked opportunities to save the vulnerable. You've ignored God's doctrines when they become uncomfortable or even just inconvenient. You've devised thin disguises and flung flimsy excuses for your violence and neglect and silence. So, we want our options left open. We want all escapes left available, but the stone jars keep obstructing us at every turn. They say, purify. You need to be pure. You need to be purified. Our sidestepping hasn't succeeded in silencing them. If anything, it only invited them to object louder. Reality bends, but only so far, and then it snaps back and slaps us every time, long before it even appears to approach breaking. The life issues are simple. They are clear, and we know it. You shall not murder. It has no gray areas, no mitigating circumstances, no legitimately different perspectives. The law demands compliance, restitution, atonement, amends. It isn't the problem. We're the problem. It has stone. We have flesh, our rebellious and sinful, selfish nature. The law must get blood, yours and mine, and gallons of it, 6 stone jars full of it. Thank God that the stone jars cannot talk. Jars can't talk at all, but they echo. And Jesus had made these jars into bullhorns of his own word. Jesus had made Cana's 6 stone jars into his own personal public address system. And he doesn't commence these proceedings. What does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come, he insists. But the divine creator incarnate distills pure mercy into the jar's jaws. The Savior invades those jars, inhabits and occupies their accusations, endures their curses himself on the cross. He dies to take responsibility for the ruin, the screw-up, the wreckage, for it all. Then Jesus makes them repeat sweet things. Filled to overflowing, the stone jars now proclaim atonement offered. These jars declare everything Jesus secured by his suffering and death on that cross. Amends made, price paid, debts settled. They shout, accounts balanced, wrath executed, punishment satisfied, justice served, sins forgiven, offenders exonerated. The Lord Jesus causes 6 stone jars to ring out a new song of the Father's compassion, resurrection everlasting, heavenly kingdom, and household inherited. He draws out of these jars promises instead of regrets, joy instead of guilt, hope replacing fear for every feast invitee. He coaxes forth crescendoing tones of sanctity and significance and salvation that embrace each wayward woman and each meandering man. He rules as interceder for whom no situation is too tiny, no condition is too trivial, no cause too hopeless or lost. He reigns as redeemer, crucified and risen, for whom impossible, terminal, tragic, chronic, or uncertain only means opportunity. And that's the point of this entire message. So I'm going to repeat it again in case you're sitting out there saying, I'm not sure what he's trying to tell me. Here's what I'm saying. Whatever life has dealt your way, There is no impossible, terminal, tragic, chronic, or uncertainty in your life that Christ cannot make an opportunity. From age to age unto eternity, He is the same as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. With stone steadfastness, the jars still echo. Well, they can echo challenges with life issues reverberating, but Jesus makes life issues echo His sweet things, just as Cana's jars. Amen. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.